Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunatu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastama Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, so page 18. Regarding the term Sura Striyaha, in the above verse, Srila Jiva Goswami writes in his Krishna Sandarbha, Anucheda 43, the word Tat Priyartam used in this verse, quoted in Anucheda 43, means for the pleasure of Radharani. The word Sura Striyaha in this verse refers to the eternal consorts of the various incarnations, such as Lord Vamana and others, of the Supreme Personality Godhead. When Lord Krishna, the original form of the Personality of Godhead, appears, then all the plenary expansions of Godhead also appear along with him. They must become one with some of the personalities of Braja. And the goddesses of fortune, who are the consorts of the Lord's various incarnations, also appear with him and merge with Radharani. The word Surastriya may also refer to the wives of the demigods who accompany the Supreme Lord's consorts in order to serve them in various ways. Right, so he's giving that there's a broader range of understanding of this Surastriya, the wives of the devatas. Right, so Vishwanath is mentioning refers to expansions of Krishna's eternal female companions, right? Because they also have their expansion within the demigods, just like Krishna's has his expansions of particular qualities and potencies within the demigods, right? But the living entity who's involved is not necessarily a devotee, or it means a very great devotee, right? But the point is that potency is there. So all that, then they all come to assist. So just as, and so in there, those potencies are also there, the female potencies and their counterparts, right? Because if you have Indra, you'll have Indrani, right? If you have Vayu, you'll have his wife, you know, Yama, his wife. So they'll be the natural counterparts. So then in this case, then it's talking about Krishna's coming, Radharani's coming, all their expansions are coming, and then even those who are not, let's say, eternal associates, they're coming with those particular potencies manifest to assist those who are the eternal associates. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. The actual reason for the Supreme Lord's appearance in this material world is not the reason expressed by the demigods in their prayers. The Lord actually appeared to perform certain specific pastimes with his great devotees, the gopis, and his activity of rescuing the earth from the burden of so many demoniac kings was merely incidental to that primary reason for his descent. Right? Because technically, material energy can kill them all. Right? It means that when there's these big demons that the demigods can't kill, then you'll see then Durga herself, she'll kill them. You know, or Krishna himself will kill. But the point is, she can take care of them. So he only comes to perform pastimes with his devotees and attract the minds of the devotees. That's why he comes to do the activities. The Lord will thus come and perform his most wonderful pastimes with the gopis. And this will be witnessed by those present at this time. No one else can do these pastimes. The removal of burden, the killing of the demons, will happen as a concomitant factor in his descent. That'll just happen on the side. So whether he comes or not, he'll take care of it through his energy. Right? They all become servants of the gopis, and they thus render service to the gopis who directly associate with Krishna. So the wives of the demigods, they're the ones that will assist those who are the direct servants of Radharani and Krishna. That makes sense. We'll see that when we come up later in the Panchadhyaya, then this will be explained to more degree.
There is this pasam in Vila Vairavandita about Nara Vrindavan. Because Krishna was so much in ecstasy, then they kind of helped him out of that mood of separation, and Balaram brought him to Nara Vrindavan through the whole experience. And then, but then at the end of that pastime, when Krishna knows that, I'm actually in Dvarka, I'm not in Vrindavan, then Balaram tells him, you still have to kill some more demons. So I just wonder, because you just said that Krishna, the killing of the demons comes, along the way. But, so why was Balaram telling Krishna that you still have, this kind of beauty to do?
Because then it will keep him in the dwarka pastimes. No? Because how does he kill the demons? And what feature? As Vasudev. So Dwarka means Vasudev Krishna.
Yeah.
Right, just like Balaram is Sankarsana.
So that's more like the hidden reason why. I mean, because Balaram told him you still have to kill some demons.
But we're talking about a very delicate emotional situation here. So what's the problem if he mentions it at that time? Does that mean that's all he's come to do? Point is those pastimes itself, then that's something for us to become attracted to, absorbed in. Demons will get killed. He'll kill the demons. That's not a problem. What we're saying is that's not the main reason he comes, because the demons can be killed by the external energy. It means they're all born, they're going to die anyway. So even if nothing else, Hiranyakashipu would have died of old age. Right? But that would have been, it would have taken a long time, and it would have been a real mess. So Krishna comes and kills him, as part of the pastime to attract the minds of the devotees. So that's why he's doing it. So even in here, if we say, you have some more demons to kill, that means you have more pastimes to perform to attract the minds of the devotees. So, okay.
I just find it interesting that Balaram is not saying that directly.
Okay, let us say somebody does something wrong. Okay? And it's an emotional kind of environment. So now, would you use more direct or more indirect methods to explain things? So then, what's the problem? Because in other situations, then Balaram takes the more direct, like with Rukmi, he's cheating and he keeps cheating, so he just hits him over the head with the club and, problem solved.
Rama Harsha.
So he does both. He has those more, while Krishna keeps more of a pleasant. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay, it's a continuing of Jiva Goswami. The personified Vedas, the sages residing at Dandakaranya, and the sons of the demigod Agni all became gopis in Vrindavan. The gopis were becoming qualified to associate. These gopis gave up their gross bodies when they were checked from going to see Krishna during the Rasa dance. In their next body, they can serve as gopis, right? So this is going to also come up at that when Krishna plays his flute, they don't go. So he's talking about these persons, they were becoming qualified to become gopis. So because that qualification hadn't come to that fullness yet, that samadhi hadn't been obtained. So because of that, then without coming to the platform of that full attachment, that purva raga, then they can't actually become part of the direct pastimes. They can assist around, but they can't actually become, there'll still be assistance within there, but they won't be directly involved until they come to that point of full absorption. So then at this point, then that full absorption comes. So they give up that gross body means whatever is, whatever fragrance is there from being conditioned, that's all given up. Right? Because when you're on that platform, that's gross. You understand? Just like with the Lord, the Virat Roop, which is so subtle people don't even understand it, that's gross. You understand? So there's still some fragrance left from the conditioning. Right? You know, as the example is given, is you have Hing. You have it in a box. You take out the Hing. You wash the box. It's squeaky clean. It still smells like Hing. So that's the whole point, is that when we go back to the spiritual world, we still smell like the material world.
That's a problem.
Yeah, so that has, that gross body has to be gotten rid of.
How?
By absorption in Krishna. So that's why we're saying, they're the ones who gave up, the gopis who becoming qualified to associate, these gopis gave up their quote-unquote gross bodies when they were checked from going to see Krishna during the rasa dance. In their next body, they can serve as gopis, right? So that means then, that form that's there after that, then they can go. So depending upon if that happened immediately, they went that night, and if not, they'll go at the next rasa dance. But the others who were already qualified because they had already taken up the association of the eternal associates, they developed already that Purva Rag, so then when Krishna Blues flew, they all went. So that's the point, that gives the point between when they come to that point of Purva Rag, then they can move into the... Been dealing too much with, you know, all the other A's, Adhokshaja, Antyaja, Akshada, Akash, yeah. But you have Shravanadasa, Varnadasa, Smaranadasa, then? No. With the A.
Apanadasa.
Yeah, Apanadasa. So then they come to that platform, now they can take part directly in the pastimes.
Do you mean that they died or give up? I mean, giving up the gross body? Or is it more like...
It's gross is in quotes. So what would that indicate?
Just to give up some certain language?
Yes, yeah, so that's what we were explaining. So, the actual meaning of this phrase, Sura Striya, is explained in the following verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-60, which describes the exalted position of the gopis in Vrindavan. When Lord Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the rasa dance, the gopis in. He was dancing with the gopis in. Okay. The gopis in the rasa dance. I see. So you have the gopis in and the gopis were. I see. So two different. So, okay, he was dancing with the gopis in, but he was embracing the gopis were.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, so that means, yeah, okay. Okay. When Lord Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the rasa dance, the gopis were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddesses of fortune or the other consorts in the spiritual world. Indeed, never was such a thing imagined by the most beautiful girls on the heavenly planet, whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly women, who are very beautiful according to the material estimation. Okay. Okay, so we see is how this all comes down. It's the same potencies that are coming down. Otherwise, because it starts there. It starts from the yogpeet. So therefore you have Radha and Krishna. Then you have the eight main associates, then out from them their associates, then it just keeps going out. And then from Vrindavana goes out to Dwarka, Dwarka to Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha into the material world, the heavenly planets, and then it comes down to here. So it's the same potency. It's just a matter of if it's being used, if it's the potency is being engaged by the eternal associates, by the devotees, or by the materialists. Rasa is one thing, but it's just a matter of how what you're using it for, right? Rasa to please Krishna, rasa to please the mind and emotions, or rasa to please the senses.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
If we talk about shaktis, we are being marginal. We use kriya shakti for our own kriya, icha shakti for ourselves.
He's the lord of the icha shakti, but because that's the point, is he is the origin of desire, but we being a part and parcel, we have a small amount of desire. So our little minuscule corner of icha shakti we try to use to full advantage for ourselves. But the point is it's the greater principle, the icha kriya and jnana, that make it work. But those come from Krishna. Krishna is the lord of icha, he's the lord of kriya, he's the lord of jnana. We're not the lord of any of them, but we think we're the lord, so therefore we give it our best shot. Amen. Amen. None of these could... Okay. We may therefore understand that the phrase Surastriyaha refers neither to the wives of the demigods, nor the goddesses of fortune, nor the queens of Dwarka, but to the gopis, who are internal potencies of Lord Krishna. So none of these could enter the rasa dance, right? Because these others couldn't reach. Only the gopis can enter the rasa dance. Because it's mentioned already that the goddesses of fortune, the demigoddesses, the girls of this world, none of them could imagine all these kind of things. The heavenly damsels came, but were not becoming gopis, but servants of the devotees. Did they become wives of Lord Krishna and Dwarka? No, the wives of Krishna are Nitya Siddha, eternal potencies of Krishna. They're always there. So they can become servants of, assistants to, like that. That kind of thing. Does that make sense? So who are in these positions, that's already fixed. Because it says that there's only 16,108. It's not that there's more than that. Does that make sense? In Vaikuntha, there's Lakshmi. Right? Like that. But in Vrindavan, then there's unlimited gopis. But it means they can, in that case, as gopis come and assisting the gopis, come to the position to be qualified as gopis, and then they can be part of that city. Mm. So that's the only place where this can expand. So then it's given that position that it doesn't mean that they're just coming like that and they're interacting as the assistants to the eternal associates. That's an important part to know, is that we're always serving the eternal associates. So sometimes you hear the terms Raganuga and Ragatmika.
Mm-hmm.
So Ragatmika means that the rag or attachment to Krishna is the life of that devotee. Right? Raganuga means you're following in the footsteps of those with this rag or this attachment. Right? So when we're dealing with talking about sadhana and sadhana either as Vaidhi sadhana, Raganuga sadhana, or Bhav sadhana, then we're talking about Raganuga. But once one comes to prema, then technically one goes into the category of Ragatmika. But still within Ragatmika, you're following the rag of those who are above you, so you're still Raganuga. Like that, because some will, no, we're not Raganuga, we're like, because it's, no, we still are, just we're on that platform of Ragatmika, just like the devotee is the highest of all living entities, right? But within devotees, then you have neophytes, madhyamas, and uttamas. So you still have designations, right? But because it's perfect, everyone is very satisfied in their position. Srila Prabhupada adds, in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, the Lord says, Chakva deham punar janma naitimam eti. After giving up the material body, the devotee of the Lord returns home, back to Godhead. This means that the devotee is first transferred to the particular universe where the Lord is at the time staying to exhibit his pastimes. There are innumerable universes, and the Lord is appearing in one of these universes at every moment. Therefore, his pastimes are called Nitya Lila, eternal pastimes. The Lord's appearance as a child in the house of Devaki takes place continuously in one universe after another. Therefore, the devotee is first transferred to that particular universe where the pastimes of the Lord are current. Yes, yes. So it's always that. So in this case, we'll call this place Gokul. That would be the definition here. You know, not Golok. Right? So it's this position. So he says, right, to therefore his pastimes are nitya lila, eternal pastimes. It is the spiritual world. So it's by his yoga maya, the spiritual world is manifest within the within the mahatattva. That doesn't make it any less or inferior. It is the spiritual world. Right? So that's the point, is that it's in between the two. It means in Goloka Vrindavan, then where's to see the material? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And in the material world, where do you see the spiritual? Mm-hmm. So where's Tathasta? It's in between these two. Mm-hmm. So it means it has to be a place where it's the spiritual world and you can see the material world. That's Gokul. It means this definition of Gokul, not Gokul meaning Braj and Golok meaning Dwarka and Mathura. We're talking about within the Mahatattva. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yes?
Can we say that the natural progression would be from Vaidhi to Raghunuga and then become Raghatmika?
No, if you come to Prema, then that is Raghatmika.
Mm-hmm. If you come to Prema after Rag, or you can come from Bhakti to Vaidhi.
Means practicing Vaidhi sadhana, that will get you to the Madhyama platform. In Madhyama platform, depending upon if it naturally manifests or not, one may come to the Rag platform or not. You understand? There's not a method to get to the Rag platform.
So it means on Vaidhi, you still can be either Vaidhi or
Rag. It doesn't. And you'll progress. Then when you get to the Uttama platform, when you get to Bhava, at that point it will be Rag. There'll be no more Vaidhi. So that's why Raghunuga sadhana is there if it naturally manifests. If it doesn't manifest, you don't worry about it. So this whole thing, no, we have to do this, and that's all misapplied Vaidhi bhakti. They'll call it Raghunuga, but it's just Vaidhi. Just straight up from Vaidhi. Does that make sense? Then in Bhava, that's Raganuga, and that will bring you to the platform of Prema, which is Ragatmika. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean that if we're what position we are serving within Gokul in Bhav, that same position will remain when we're in Prema. You know what I'm saying? So we're always servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So that's just something to... That's just the natural position.
So that Raganuga in Prem, when it's Ragatmika,
yes.
You say it still continues, but is there some differentiation from Raganuga in Bhav?
Because you're on Prema.
Yes. So the Ragatmika, you're in that. And you're in Raganuga. I'm just trying to see, therefore, does it merge into something, some other...
No, all we're trying to point out is that by overemphasizing the point of Ragatmika as opposed to Raganuga means then we're worried more about our position that will be more advanced, we'll be getting more happiness out of Prema than we were out of Bhava. Mm-hmm. So it's about us. Mm-hmm. So we're saying, yes, you'll be on the platform of Ragatmika, mm-hmm. but within Ragatmika... Mm-hmm.
Just the Raganuga still remains.
Within that, we're still going to be serving the servants of Krishna. Yeah, therefore, we put our emphasis on Raganuga. It means it's very rare. Have you ever heard Ragatmika before? Mm-hmm. The Acharyas hardly use it. They always use Raganuga. Mm-hmm. You know. So we're always going to be. So that's the meaning of being Rupanuga. We're always in that following Rupa Goswami. Mm-hmm. That won't change, whatever platform we're on.
Just you're in Prem.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I once explained this point about Gokul and Tathasta to a devotee who then said, I haven't seen any of the Acharyas say this, so I do not believe you.
Then fine. But there's plenty that it also says that you're not the body and that, you know, you surrender to Krishna, you're liberated. Has he seen that? It also mentions that the name is Chintamani and non-different from Krishna, and so therefore has he seen that? Mm-hmm. So just because he hasn't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Unless he's a Buddhist.
Not officially.
Then if he hasn't seen it, it does not exist.
Yeah. That was back to the tree in the forest.
The point is we're going through right here. We're explaining how it's there.
Yeah.
Because the point is it's not a discussion to be discussed.
Mm.
But because devotees insist on discussing it, therefore when it comes up, then we'll make the references. But the point is it's not a point to discuss because you either understand it or don't. It's that simple. And so if you don't understand it, you don't understand it. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that how the ad goes? That's the way it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like... Yeah. Point is you go back to there. So the point is what we're pointing out is that would have to be the place you're coming from. Because you have to... means. If you're going from a neutral state and falling down, you have to go back to the neutral state to go to the positive state. So this is the neutral state. Then you learn prema, then you move forward, then you can go to Goloka. Because the point is Jiva Goswami says you don't fall from Goloka. But it's said that you fall from the spiritual world.
So
therefore, since it says that this is the spiritual world, because this is eternal pastimes, that has to be the point at which you fall. Because otherwise you can't fall from the spiritual world because there's no material there. And material world's already fallen. Right? And if we say Brahman, but we have to understand what Brahman means. We think Brahma Jyoti, but the point is Brahman means everyone's in Vasudeva Sattva when the Lord breathes out, and then when Brahma does the secondary creation, then we enter into that and take on the material bodies. Before that, we were liberated. So we fell from the Brahman platform. And if you take it as a Tathasta means it's not prema, it's not material, what is that? That's Brahman. Because we haven't taken up the personal association with the Lord. So if you look at all these different things, you come up with this understanding. But what to do?
When does this start? When one kind of get attached to a certain association with Krishna and one wants to serve?
Which happen? Because we're talking about
the
got two directions here. When does Raganuga Bhakti start? We says that it either starts in a generic kind of sense within the Madhyama platform, or it'll be in its natural solid position in the platform of Bhava.
So that
means after Nishtha? From Nishtha on. It's like this. At what exact age, date, time, nanosecond, does the girl get attracted to a boy? You please tell me that exactly scientifically. It just happens. You have to get used to that. Yeah? So that's the point. It's raga. But we, because we're Vaidhi sadhakas, Vaidhi sadhakas, then we have to see everything in time and space and Vaidhi. And so when, what is the Vaidhi for Raganuga? What do I have to do to get to Raganuga? That's the point. It just happens.
I'm just asking because just to prevent, to become a Vaidhi.
So has it happened? If it hasn't happened, don't worry about it. You worry about it, that's where sahajiyas come up. So that's why we stick to the Vaidhi and the study of the Shastras and that, because that's what makes the sahajiya sahajiya. They don't care about the Shastra studying Vaidhi and all that. It's just all bhav, what I feel, whatever I'm into, that's what I do. So the difference between them and others is they wear traditional Bengali dress because they're Bengalis, and others wear a Western dress because they're Westerners. But if it's just about the mood I feel, and it's just, why do I have to be restricted by all this? Oh, that's so Indian. The sahajiyas say exactly the same thing. And that comes from Sahajayan Buddhism, so it means it's actually a Buddhistic, atheistic philosophy. So that's why then it's, it doesn't accept authority and all these things of Shastra and stuff like that, because it's actually Buddhism. So when we say the Mayavadis are on one side and the Sahajiyas on another, they're both just covered Buddhists in atheism. So in other words, if it's theistic, then you stay on the line, because this is what Krishna says, this is what the Acharyas say. And then if you deviate from that, then you have this wide ocean on one side of, you know, more intellectualizing on that, and the other side more sentimentalizing on it. Right? So one, yeah, like that. So it's the same thing. So you have Vedic and you have Buddhism. Right? And then you have varieties of that. Is that something? Mayavadi's Vedic Buddhism. Mayavadi's Vedic Buddhism. Oh, Buddha himself is Vedic. It's just his followers happen to not be. That's the fun part. So at least that, there's the idea of attracting back in. So at least then the person, those who accept the person. But that's the problem, is not all of the Buddhist lines have that personal aspect. You know, so then it's just a way to get the atheist to somehow or another come a little closer. And then Shankara then brings him even more close. And then Madhu and Ramanuja, they bring him properly into the understanding. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. 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 The women of the heavenly planets were thus ordered to appear in the Yadu dynasty in Vrindavan to enrich the pastimes of Lord Krishna. These Surastri, when further trained to live with Krishna, would be transferred to the original Goloka Vrindavan. During Lord Krishna's pastimes within this world, the Surastri were to appear in different ways in different families to give pleasure to the Lord, just so that they would be fully trained before going to the eternal Goloka Vrindavan. Right? So, you have to be trained by those who are from Goloka. Right? So that's the thing, is that since bhakti comes from bhakti, therefore that braja bhakti comes from braja bhaktas. So then unless you associate with them, you won't get that. Right? And if you've associated with them, then why you won't have that? So you have to have this situation in which you can get their association, but it's still within the context that you're used to. Does that make sense? So then they come, they assist, and then by assisting, getting that association, they develop that mood. By developing that mood, then they're able to enter into the pastimes fully. That then makes them qualified to be transferred to the eternal Goloka Vrindavan. Does that make sense? With the association of Lord Krishna, either at Dwarkapuri, Mathurapuri, or Vrindavana, they would certainly return home back to Godhead. Right, so depending upon what their mood is, then they would go to these realms. Among the Surastri, the women of the heavenly planets, there are many devotees, such as the mother of the Upendra incarnation of Krishna. It was such devoted women who were called in for this connection. Right, so those, it's not that all of them, it's just those who are devotees, they get called in for these ones like that. Right, depending upon their interests, that's where they go. Right, like you see the personified Vedas, they were interested in serving Krishna in Vrindavan. Right? There's those who are interested in Dwarka, those in Mathura. Okay. So, in his additional notes to this chapter, Srila Prabhupada adds, in the commentary of Sri Viraragavacharya, the following extra verses accepted after text 23, Rishayo pi tad ade shat, Kalpyantam Pashu Rubinaha Payodana Mukhenapi Vishnum Tarpayitum Suraha. O demigods, even great sages following the order of Vishnu appeared in the forms of cows and calves to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by delivering milk. I think it was in some pages before, then there was the discussion about these cows and calves and how they were pleasing Krishna. Mm-hmm. Was it in here?
I think so.
Like that. And it was referring them to the sages. Mm. that they were great sages. Mm-hmm. So that's based on this verse. Lord Brahma concluded, the foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarsana, who is known as Ananta. He is the origin of all incarnations within this material world. Previous to the appearance of Lord Krishna, this original Sankarsana will appear as Baladev, just to please the Supreme Lord in his transcendental pastimes. Footnote 6. Oh, the other one was other. Okay, that was Vedanta Sutra. Mm. I was thinking, how are we on 6? We're on 12?
17. Yeah.
Okay. In his additional notes for this chapter, Srila Prabhupada writes, Ramanujacharya sometimes accepts Baladev as Shakyavesha avatar. But Srila Jiva Goswami has explained that Baladev is an expansion of Krishna and that a part of Baladev is Sankarsana. Although Baladev is identical with Sankarsana, he is the origin of Sankarsana. Therefore, the word Swarat has been used to indicate that Baladev always exists in his own independence. The word Swarat also indicates that Baladev is beyond the material conception of existence. Maya cannot attract him. But because he is fully independent, he can appear by his spiritual potency wherever he likes. Maya is fully under the control of Vishnu, because the material potency and yoga maya mingle in the Lord's appearance. They are described as ekanamsha. Sometimes ekanamsha is interpreted to mean without difference. Sankarsana and Seshanag are identical, as stated by Yamuna Devi. O Rama, O great armed master of the world, who have extended yourself throughout the entire universe by one plenary expansion, it is not possible to understand you fully. Therefore, Ekamsha refers to Seshanag. In other words, Baladev, merely by his partial expansion, sustains the entire universe. Right? So in here, you don't make as much of a difference. See, in Krishna, you're making a difference in the moods in that. Because Krishna has a mood, Baladev is a mood, then all these other aspects of the Lord. But technically, with Balaram, then these different moods that are there from him, Sankarsan, Mahavishnu, Seshanag, all that, you don't make so much that distinction. Because it's one particular mood that's then manifested in many different ways. But with Krishna, then the form is different, the mood is different. Right? So Varaha's mood is different from Nrisimhadeva's, is different from Hayagriva's, like this. Does that make sense? Mm. So the Vasudeva aspects, then you're making a distinction of the moods, though it's the same person. With Baladev, you can refer to each one and mean the other one. Yes?
But aren't all of those expansions from Baladev?
Yes. Yes, but they're the Vasudeva aspect of the expansion. So the Sankarsana aspect then keeps that mood of Baladev. But the Vasudeva aspect then is that mood connected with that relationship between Krishna and Balaram. So it'll have that Vasudeva aspect. So therefore there's that, it's a slight, you know, the subtlety there. That's why but you see with Krishna, you can also be referring to one incarnation and in connection with another. You know, it's like the gopis are telling Krishna how he lifted the earth. Right? Because it's the same person. But yeah, does that make sense? So Baladev, then there's that aspect of Ekanamsha, that there's that aspect is there, and so that Ekanamsha part, that's done by Baladev. Krishna, then that mood doesn't have that, though everything is him, but that everything is him is carried out in that mood as Baladev. Does that make sense? So that's why he's taken as the senior. He's the, you know, like when Krishna and Balaram, Krishna will take him. He's the supreme. He's the, because he's acting in that capacity. But Krishna's not acting in that capacity. So,
in Gaura Lila, we also have a great acharya as kind of a prominent.
But then that's within the distinction between Balaram in that mood on this side of the Yajna and Balaram in that mood on that side. So on this side, he'll be Nityananda. On that side is Advaita Charya. Because then the interaction with the external energy, that aspect is there, which you don't see there. So that's why then with Mahavishnu, then the aspect of the non-difference between him and Sada Shiva is less seen. Because while you're on that side, then Shiva and Balaram and Krishna, you'll see that difference. But on this side, then, is there, but is less of a difference.
Is it because Ramanujacharya is
Ananta?
He says that Baldev is a
Shakti Vishakti. Well, he'll be taught, because in this case, he's not talking about that original Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. He'll be talking about, some avatars and all that, because generally when Krishna and Balaram are appearing, then generally there are Vishnu Tattva, or in this case he mentions Shakti Vesha avatars of that. They're not Swayam. Mm-hmm. Swayam is only once in a day of Brahma in the seventh Manvantara in the 28th, you know, cycle, Mahayuga. Yeah? Like that. Okay.
I know you've explained it, Maharaj, but is the one of saying why is there not that much differentiation? I understood what you said, but in Balaram's mood.
But why would means when we're dealing with him, we're dealing with he's the cause of the creation. He's what makes everything happen. That aspect.
Understood.
But Lord Chaitanya, you generally don't. You can mention that, but that's not the prominent mood that's there. Mm. Generally, with Balaram. That's where you'll. It won't go past that point.
Okay, but.
But with Krishna, it'll open with that, but then go past that point.
But he has a distinct mood, Balaram. So where's his moods expanded? Anywhere else? Can I ask that way? If he's protecting the universe and supporting, but is there any other way his moods are manifest externally in different realms, other than that supportive senior to Krishna sort of aspect? You know.
No.
Because
they always go together. Mm. Krishna and Balaram or Vasudeva and Sankarshan, they're always together.
Okay.
And then expanding from Sankarshan, then you get Pradyumna and Anuruddha.
Mm.
So the two are just like Ram and Lakshman.
Mm.
They always go together.
Mm.
You know, or Vishnu and Anantasesh, they always are together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. They're always where the one is, the other is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. The potency of the Lord, known as Vishnu Maya, who is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will also appear with Lord Krishna. This potency, acting in different capacities, captivates all the worlds, both material and spiritual. Because, means, in other words, Maya attracts attention. Now it's just a matter of, is it material attention? Is it spiritual attention? That's the thing. So Yoga Maya means spiritual. Maha Maya means material. But the point is Maya means the attractive feature. Because you have to have some element of illusion there.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're in Vaikuntha and you only see him as the absolute supreme and all that, then how do you interact? How can you serve, right, when it's always going to be less? Does that make sense? Like that. So there has to be some yoga maya.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a matter of there's more awe and reverence than in the Vaikuntha Wallace, than in Goloka there's less. Right? And in Braj, it's just not there. At the request of her master, she will appear with her different potencies in order to execute the work of the Lord. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. In order to charm the eternal devotees and bewilder the enemies like Kamsa, Lord Krishna gave orders to Yoga Maya and Maya Devi. Here the word Vishnu or Maya refers to both energies of the Lord, but elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated that he gave orders to Yoga Maya. Right? Because they're the same person. It's just different offices. So if you talk to Yogamaya, you've already done your work with Mahamaya. Right? You don't have to worry about it because it's the same principle. Is that attraction to the Lord, but the one is in knowledge of the Lord, of the relationship, and one is without the knowledge of the Lord. Right? People in the world, that attraction they have to things that we would call Maya, that what they're attracted to is the Lord Himself. Right? But they don't know that that's what they're attracted to. Therefore, it's Mahamaya. But those who know what they're attracted to is Krishna, that's Yogamaya.
So dovetailing means connecting.
Yeah, what you're doing is adding in understanding of Krishna. In other words, you make it, how you say, that aspect of directness. You bring the Lord into it. That's why we say add the Lord to whatever you're doing.
So does it mean that this is the principle of non-dualism?
The principle of non-dualism, yes. Yes, yes. But at the same time, there's difference. They're non-dual, but there's difference. You know, it's just like in your closet. What's in your closet? Saris. So they're all one thing. They're your saris. But there's difference. Right? So that's the point.
I don't have that.
You don't have that? Okay. We'll take that as a good thing. So you're not a follower of Ed Wood?
No.
Okay. At the request of her master, she will appear with her different potencies in order to execute the work of the Lord. So depending on what it is, someone needs to be controlled by Mahamaya, she'll do that. Controlled by Yogamaya, she'll do that. So she's going to make the arrangements. That's the whole point. Because she is the potency behind she is the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis. That makes the arrangement for the Icha Shakti. So what Krishna does, that's Icha. That's his desire. So then creating the environments for that and the activities that will manifest the desire of Krishna, that's the Kriya and the Jnana Shaktis. So that's what she takes care of. Now, whether we're using those Shaktis in a spiritual way or a material way, then that depends on whether she manifests as Mahamaya or Yogamaya.
We also relate those Shaktis to Baladeva. Right?
Yes, that's there. That's why it mentioned Baladev, Sankarshan, and then his Yoga Maya. That's why they go together. That's
yeah. It's that level.
Yeah.
Okay.
You said that Mahamaya means that one is attracted to the Lord without knowing that it's actually the Lord which is the attractive feature.
Yes.
So I just wonder, like they say, like a boy and girl attracted to each other. So I don't know, maybe the boy thinks, oh, this is a very qualified woman, like, she's very beautiful. So.
Right. She doesn't think that about him. Oh no, I'm trying that. I understand. We pull it down and down.
How can that be?
Him for sure is not.
Somehow I know that today has been
it's one of those
long one of those days.
I had this question a long time.
But we've been discussing that this point for a long time.
I just really want to really understand.
Okay, so we want to discuss it that the boy's attracted the girl because he thinks she's very qualified. Right?
And also, of course, the beauty is important for him.
Okay, we'll throw that in. Like that, okay.
Depends on the age.
It's just atoms. Okay, we're going by Vaisheshika here. Okay. And so then, are these atoms, are Mahatattva atoms, are Vyakta atoms, or which ones are we, are Pradhan atoms? Or? It's material energy atoms. Okay.
Trying to merge them together.
Okay, so then, But if that's the case, if she's just Adam, that means he's just Adam. So his just Adams are attracted to her just Adams. Right? Okay. So the whole point is what's he attracted to? It's the earth, water, fire, air, and ether. It's those atoms that are just so fabulous.
All the right places.
Yes, but there's so many combinations. Who makes the combinations? You guess. So it's not Mattel or, you know, any of those guys. Some big multinational corporation. I was just saying Monsanto or something.
Probably got something.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Because that's how you get Barbie, because he's actually been genetically modified. Right? Okay. So you have the girl, but what he's attracted to is not earth, water, fire, air, and ether. He's attracted to the girlness of the girl, right? That's the other, but specifically, but there's the girlhood of the girl, so the specifics of that girl. But that girlness and girlhood, that is Krishna's potency, that's the universal form. Because if those aren't there, then what's the attraction? So why are they in that? So according to what activity, their desires, what activities they perform, then they get various, each individual gets various quantities or qualities of that girlness or girlhood. Does that make sense? Like that. So then that's what you're going to see. So that's what's attractive. So we think it's this body is what's attractive, or this subtle body is what's attractive. But actually what's attractive is the universal form. So it's Krishna that's attractive. It's not Satchidananda. It's the gross manifestation of Krishna. If everything's Brahman, there has to be some transformation of the energies of the Lord. The point is the universal form, that in the original primary creation, there is the femininity and the feminine beauty. And that has a range within what we would call feminine. You know? Does that make sense? Or a look that you would say, okay, this is a girl. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's carried out by the energy. So what you're seeing is the energies. But where's the basis of those energies? It's the energetic. The soul by nature is Satchidananda. So that means eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So bliss comes from activities that generate something that you can be blissful about. That's based on you having an existence. So when that existence is in connection with Krishna, then a servant of Krishna, you perform activities connected to Krishna, that therefore please Krishna, therefore you're happy. When we think I'm the controller and enjoyer, then we're reversing that, we're change shifting that direction of that, where we're removing Krishna from that. So we still have to have an identity to perform activities to get results, but those results are no longer for Krishna. So now we've removed Krishna from the equation. That's Mahamaya. If we're working with, I'm servant of Krishna, I perform activities and the results of the please Krishna, that's Yogamaya. Okay? So the whole spiritual world then is a manifestation of this Yogamaya. Right? She's the attractive feature. But she is coming from Krishna. So when we say reflection, we can say yes, between the activities in the spiritual world and the activities in the material world is a reflection. Right? But when we're talking about the girlness of a particular girl, the girlhood of that particular girl, that's coming from Krishna's potency, which is coming from him. That's not a reflection. That is his potency. But it's a reflection of what is a girl in the spiritual world. Right? So the primary creation is based on what's the, you know, the natural principles in the spiritual world. You know, add in a few more that you don't really require in the spirit, in the spiritual world, like, you know, scorpions and other things like that. But, you know. Is that okay? Yeah. So, in other words, the boy is attracted actually by Krishna, but he thinks it's the girl. Right? And so therefore he does all kinds of activities in connection with what he thinks is the girl. But the only reason that that girlness is there is because of Krishna. Does that make sense? Now we're okay? We can move on from our Vaisheshika philosophy. See, Vaisheshika philosophy is good if you want to get out of that. So whoever you're attracted to, you just turn them into a bunch of atoms, then it's a lot less attractive. But if you want to know how it works, then you have to, why you're attracted to that particular conglomeration of atoms, then what we explained, that's what's going on. Is that okay? How far did we get?
Did it appear for the purpose of activity? Second. We said that Kriya and Jnana, the yoga mind operates.
It means the Srup Shakti operates all three of them. Okay. But in this context, then, Icha, that is simply, Krishna is the Lord of Icha. So therefore, in that capacity connected with Krishna there, then that mood and relationship will be there. So that aspect will be taken care of by Radharani.
Okay, so we differentiate from relationship.
Yes. Yes. But otherwise, Srup Shakti, Srup Shakti. But Radharani, Srup Shakti, but Yogamaya is also Srup Shakti. So the distinction, she's dealing with the Jnana and Kriya, while Radharani deals with the Icha. So in other words, she's Ladini, and Yogamaya will be the Samvit and Sandini. That's why sometimes she's known as Chit, but then you see the capacity in there, and her husband, we're dealing with you know, how you say, Sada Shiva. So then that takes on, one wonders about that there. So then in her connection with Balaram, then that's that because of his position, his consorts, they're also, then they're his Ladini. You know what I'm saying? So that's why she carries all that capacity. Like that. But in connection to Krishna, then it's there. But that's why you don't see Purnamasi's husband in Braj. You don't see Balaram's wives. You know what I'm saying? This only happens when you get to Dwarka. Then you start to see this.
It's an idea.
Yeah, it's more than it's there. So Purnamasi has a husband, but that's not in the Braj scene, that's in the Golok scene.
So Mahamaya is the three modes. Yogamaya is Samvit and Sambhini?
Yes, you could say. But I mean, she's controlling all the things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
so the mechanics of it, she's controlling, but the whole point is the experience of it then. So that's the point, is which one you're dealing with, that's what it changes. That's why it's so, it was just you know, how you say, if you could stick it in a box, then
yeah,
it would be easy to understand, but you can't stick it in a box.
No.
Yeah, okay. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanande.